Hi Ramesh, welcome to the Big Unlock podcast. It is really nice to have you here and thank you for joining.
Thank you, Rohit. I appreciate your invitation as well. I'm really excited about today.
I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the managing partner and CEO at Big Rio and Demo Consulting and the host of this Big Unlock podcast, which was started by Paddy Padmanabhan. And I think we are up to now 170 plus episodes. So it's going pretty well. So super excited to have you here. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Rohit. And you have done a wonderful job of not just bringing this innovation in healthcare field, bringing different technologies and pieces and solving key problems that I've also been fascinated by how you use formats like this podcast and book and others, and fascinated, lots to learn from you. From my side, just a quick introduction for your audience. CEO and co-founder of Zaki Point Health. This is my fourth venture. I have seen myself pretty early on as a teenager, as an entrepreneur growing up in Pakistan and thinking that you can actually create things from nothing when you think entrepreneurial. And so I've always been fascinated by that. So that has led me to starting a company in mobile couponing ticketing space that I sold to a UK listed company. And fast forward that, really where what got me into healthcare was quite a couple of dimensions. One, I was looking at building a new venture that leverages my skills in technology, in data, and particularly mobile, and how those things might impact different industries. And I felt healthcare was one of those industries where the more we spend, the less we get. And it's a conundrum, it's a data conundrum. And how we deliver that experience to the member is really lacking. And then the other thing that really triggered a very specific problem that I've latched onto over the last decade now is I was helping my dad to be healthier. And he's an entrepreneurial guy, a tremendous inspiration for me, but had bypass surgery in his mid-40s and loves his food. So it's hard to get him to get off that trend line. And even yesterday when I was talking to him, he was saying, well, I've had a little bit of weight. And I was like, okay, what can we do now for you? So that really triggered me to think about how can we engage individuals in their healthcare journey. And that was a very difficult problem to solve, seeing it through my dad's lens. But what I was able to see is that he could have saved money on using mail order medication program on the three meds that he was on if he knew the information. But that information was not that easy to find. This kind of reflective of what's going on in our healthcare sector, where members lack transparency, price transparency, no idea what things cost, members really how to navigate what is really available to them, programs and solutions. And also then members lack, they don't understand what's value, good value,
right.
What's high quality, what's low cost, and what does it mean for them to take certain things in healthcare. So those kind of three things have really propelled me, fueled me to start this company. But also I spend a lot of time talking to folks like you and learning more and pushing the boundaries of this industry on what's possible. So that's just a little bit about
me. That's amazing. That's amazing, Ramesh. I'm so happy to know that you are inspired by your father's patient journey as well. So would you like to talk a little bit about members? Because see, you talk about members and others talk about patients, and there's a bit of a difference in the thought process or perhaps in the approach over there. So tell us a little bit more about your most recent venture, like what are you working on? And you touched upon price transparency as well. So these couple of things just help us understand how you look at patients from the lens of that they are members, and what is this price transparency all about as well?
Yeah, I think keeping that lens of member is sort of important, because what we end up doing in healthcare is we point fingers. We point fingers like, oh, in the US, patients or individuals don't care about their health. And they, you know, eat whatever and they do whatever. Well, that cannot be true. It's not that nobody cares about themselves and longevity and everything. And then they point two fingers to the insurance company. The insurance companies point fingers to the providers and price gouging, and they point fingers to the legal system around here. So what ends up happening is we're looking for excuses. So when you think about member and think about any other business as well, how do you serve that member? And what is fundamentally lacking for that member today, in my opinion, is it's a very fragmented experience. You know, you go to a doctor, first of all, they don't even know what is available to you, what benefits are, what kind of providers are available to you, what is a high quality provider. They just go it based on whatever they might have known, what medical school they went to, or even beyond it, what does it cost for that individual or for the person who's paying for that? They have no idea. And that needs to change. It needs to really be in a position where members kind of know what is available to them. What does it really cost? Is it a good quality care? What's the next best thing they should be doing? You know, what does the second opinion say? All of those kind of programs and services, they should be unified in one place. And that is not the case. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of effort, even when you are using the system. The same questions are asked at least 7 times mm-hmm. By different people, and the data is not moving. And so that whole unification of the member experience, underlying that is the unification of the data, unification of all the programs or providers and their kind of cost and quality and other kinds of data should be available and fed through this to improve that member's engagement. And then the stakeholders as well. The stakeholders like the provider, the direct primary care or the primary care, they also don't need to have that access so they can be good stewards of your health.
Right. So describe us more in detail that what is Ramesh, the platform that you have been working on or the solution that you have been working on, which sure. helps in better member engagement and stakeholder engagement as well. And describe us like how does this whole thing work with technology and especially new technologies coming into play?
Yeah. So fundamentally, I sort of touched on the problem, which is the member does not have that ability to see all of that in one place. So we solve that specific problem for the member where we bring all of their healthcare data in one place, the predictive models at an individual level, so that we are able to share what is the next best thing that they could do. We feed all the data around providers, the contracts, the plan documents to real-time data on where they are on their deductible, what are the costs externally at different providers for an individual procedure, CPT code, down to, you know, under the contractual terms, what would be the out-of-pocket expense for the individual and the quality ratings as well. Mm-hmm. Able to help the member see what the next thing they can do, or they can ask a question, or they can access all of these tools in one place through multiple touch points, whether it's mobile, web, or text and other things as well. So that's really the one big area where we solve the problem by bringing all of the data so that there's clear meaning around transparency, navigation, and understanding of value. But we also believe that the same data needs to be available to the stakeholders who are serving that individual. So today we are focused very much on third-party administrators and serving them to serve the members, to improve their member experience, to improve their programs, the clinical programs that are being delivered to that individual. And so that stakeholder also has access to all of that information with tools, AI tools, to be able to search very quickly and be present with the member when they're on the phone. And then we take all of that data from all those interactions so that it provides the plan sponsor an ability, a strategic cockpit that gives them the ability to understand where the risks are, costs are at a population level, where the gaps are, where the inefficiencies are, where the inappropriate use is, where the new solutions, new programs could be beneficial to that individual or cohort of people, all of that into a dashboard where they can then drive action. They can communicate to the group of individuals, hey, you know, Rohit, did you know you have this program available to you that might help you? Or somebody else like me might receive a slightly different kind of message. Hey, Ramesh, people like you who want the most for themselves using this kind of program to maximize, you know,
I see.
Using a little bit of the behavioral science there. So that ability to then take all of that data to be able to drive some of that communication. So we kind of bring those pieces, three pieces together, the stakeholders, the member, and whoever is paying for it, they are making the same decisions and driving that change on an ongoing basis rather than just once a year, because healthcare is a continuous journey.
Yes, that's fascinating, Ramesh, the way that you're thinking about it. I want to circle back on price transparency because, you know, a lot of us, including me, have heard this term but may not completely understand it. So could you illustrate by a few examples on what this actually means? And is there a law around this, or is there something which is becoming a law around this? And what does it mean for members and patients, and what does it mean for the other stakeholders in the equation?
So first of all, this has been a long enough journey where it's bilateral. Both political parties have been behind this price transparency regulation, kind of started in the Obama time and then Trump as well. And then first Trump, and then it kind of got into action a few years ago, where basically every plan sponsor, i.e. you're an employer who's paying for your employee healthcare costs, a plan sponsor, or you are an insurance company, you are responsible for providing a tool to the member to find out exactly what their out-of-pocket cost would be for any procedure at a specific location for a particular procedure. The tool that needs to be provided, feeling that there's a lot of the data where both the providers and the payers, when they have a contract in place with providers, they need to expose those contracts through these machine-readable files, the gigantic files of Cigna and everyone else. They need to expose these files in these machine-readable file formats, what that contracted rate is for each procedure at each location. On the other hand, separate regulation, they have to also provide all of these machine-readable files on what their pricing is for different procedures. Not the charge master, not what they are kind of publishing, but what exactly is the actual they are charging. And so using those different data sets, now you have a tremendous data set, but also a regulatory requirement to make sure every individual has a tool. So that's kind of where the last 4 years things have gone, and it's now, you know, available in the market. You know, the usage levels are low still. Because members are maybe not searching for a knee surgery a couple of days before they need to go for a knee surgery and then changing their mind. The decision, you know, 6 to 8 months in advance. We see is with all of this data and the tools that are available, how they will make it into the hands of individuals in a different way, or in the providers, or in the other stakeholders who are serving the members, or the contracting that's going to go on from here onwards, where we are seeing, you know, insurance companies, health plans are using this data to start contracting differently as well now. So that's kind of where we are in the second innings of this, where all of this data is now available. It's getting more and more accurate. Some of the early attempts where there's a lot of inaccuracy, and so that's getting cleaned up. And so that regulation is only going to make it more useful. The outputs will come out. And there's some additional stuff that's coming down the pipe from the Trump administration around the pharmacy benefits or pharmacy costs as well, transparency. So those are some of the things that are...
I see. That's good to know. Now, I know that, Ramesh, you do a lot of innovation in your approach to solving problems. So tell us a little bit more about how you think of innovation. How do you bring it to the forefront with the customers? And what are some of your tools and techniques around this as you go about with your solution to your client? Sure.
Well, I think with every kind of industry, but more so in healthcare, because it's a complicated industry, first of all, and there's regulated, and there's a lot of data privacy that you need to make sure that you are following those protocols. Innovation really requires solving specific problems. Mm-hmm. It requires understanding who the real user is going to be, because it's a system. If you kind of think that it's going to solve the overall problem, but there's no real user for that innovation. There's no real business model for that innovation. Nobody's actually going to pay for it. Then it's going to fall through the cracks. So for any innovation, it has to be a specific problem for a specific stakeholder who's willing to pay for it. And then co-creating the solutions, because you need access to the data, you need access to the support from the stakeholders and users. It needs to deliver that benefit so that co-creation element is big when it comes to innovation. And yes, pushing the boundaries of the payment models, how you are getting rewarded for it, for delivering outcomes rather than feeding into the whole fee-for-service model that has been existing for decades now. How do you kind of align yourself with the outcomes so that then everybody is focused on the outcomes? That becomes important framework to keep in mind. And then it's about leveraging data. It's about leveraging new technologies. You know, in the past, machine learning, we were using a lot of that to improve member experience, to personalization. And we are seeing now how that could be quite useful for even whole artificial intelligence, how you can use large language models to make it a lot easier, again, for the members to understand and ask, and but also on the back end, the whole workflows and processes to change. So kind of bringing these new tools to solve these problems in a step kind of function manner, that is key. There's a general kind of excitement, obviously, across the board for AI as well. So I would say keeping that framework in mind and co-creating those solutions.
That's great insight here, Ramesh. So talk with us. You just touched upon, you know, large language models and agentic AI, and, you know, there's voice agents that we have been working on for our time. So a lot of new things are coming our way. Landscape is also changing very fast. So how do you think about it in your world? And are you embracing some of these new technologies? And what are you seeing in the future? Let's say in the next 3 to 4 years, what is your thinking around what is coming down the pike?
Yeah, so with these agentic AI systems, you can really improve workflow. You can improve how the job is actually done. You can have an agent for every little thing. You can improve how the data gets. So I'm talking mainly about healthcare administration, not talking about drug discovery, not talking about care, cancer research, and other kind of things. I'm really focused on the healthcare administration side of things. You can really change the game, the way the members want to interact with healthcare, because it's the young generation, which is pretty used to digital tools and want to kind of use these digital tools. And they are also now pretty savvy with chat GPTs of the world. And my kids who are like using chat GPT for everything. And I don't know where that will end. But also even the older generation, where you touched on this, well, they just want to be able to talk and describe their problem. And the agentic systems that can solve the problem, but also to understand the intent, take the voice, turn that and feed it into a language model to understand the intent and then go off and solve the problem, you can actually deliver a fundamentally different member experience. Mm-hmm. Of different kind of categories of people. And you can bring all the different data sets, whether that's cost, quality, providers, directories, to predictive risks, to gaps in care, to clinical kind of algorithms, second opinion data, all of that could be then fed. And AI can actually be that unifying place where you can go off and, you know, get answers, experience, and get the work done and be able to serve the member in ways. So the potential here is huge. Obviously, we are pretty early on in the game. You know, we have people are just putting this in POCs in place and trying to see if this is delivering the impact. Is it making it scalable or not? Does that mean we don't need to hire as many customer service agents, as many clinicians, or people who are helping members navigate, nurse navigators? So it should have a ripple effect in all of those areas of scaling. But we are, again, in the early days. And so I do see from the work that we have done, you know, we're seeing the reduction in, first of all, to improve the member satisfaction. We've also seen the reduction in how much time it takes to access all that information for that customer support person, where they don't have to search through 200-page plan documents and look for the exception, like where is that particular, if a pregnant person has this situation, what is covered, what's not covered. So it is certainly having impact on that now, but where this could go is like you can have a single point where you ask any question and it feeds and connects to all these agents out there. That's second opinion to clinical cancer kind of outcome research to whatnot, these agents can be fairly well organized to get the answer to that individual. So I see a tremendous scope for bringing all of that data, improving the member experience, and getting that jobs done, those questions answered, and those jobs done for that individual.
That's great, Ramesh. So thank you so much for the interaction. I think we are coming close to the close of the podcast here. So any other parting thoughts or any other news that you would like to share with the audience before we close?
Yeah, I think just I appreciate the opportunity, and I just see the role of clinicians, practicing, you know, physicians, and the technologist kind of really coming together is where the next round of innovation, new solutions, solving the problems will come. It's nothing new, what I'm saying here, but really emphasizing this point that those heuristic algorithms that are sitting in the clinician's mind and their experience, they need to be able to bring out and serve the members better so that we can serve members at scale.
Yes.
That's also going to throw out some amazing innovations 5 years out. We can serve the global population a lot better. Parts where healthcare is very hard to get to, but there's mobile phones there. I've been to the villages in around the world, and the conditions and situations that they deal with, all that information. So I think what we do today not only solves the problems of tomorrow, but many years out, it can unleash a lot of other innovation to serve the global population.
That's a great note to end it on, Ramesh. Thank you so much, and hoping to see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy, for the opportunity as well.